We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1, where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heapy Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and this is another one, second week in a row, by the way, these little beginning cards of me talking about some little spiel before the episode starts. I just want to remind everybody that what you're about to hear is a post-game show that you can catch live on twitch.tv/MIAHeapy. You really want to be a part of them. They are so much fun. Our viewership has been... I can't thank you guys enough for how active and how high the viewership has been. It's been more than I could have ever dreamed it was going to be, especially barely 2 weeks into doing this. I thank every single person who's tuning in. And those who haven't tuned in yet, I really recommend. We're having so much fun on the streams, and I want you all to be a part of it. So twitch.tv/MIAHeapBeat to be a part of that. Get alerts, get all that stuff going. You can also get in on our Discord server. The link is going to be in the podcast description, so check that out. Our Discord server is so fun on game days, and pretty much all the time, but especially on game days. It's pretty fun in there. So we want you to get involved with those things. And I think the first couple minutes of the show, you might hear a hiss. It goes away. I fix it. Listen, there's a lot of moving parts of these streams, and we're getting closer to it being perfect in terms of, like, the exporting process. So bear with me, like 2 minutes, that it'll be gone. And I really want you guys to join the stream. But then again, that's twitch.tv/MIAHeapy. And thank you to everyone who's joined. Thank you to everyone who's part of the Discord. Thank you to Blue Wire for being a great podcast network and supporting everything we do. And enjoy the episode.
It feels like Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami. Miami. Miami, Miami.
Oh, this is why.
Miami, Miami. Miami, Miami. It feels like Miami.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heapbeat Postgame Show. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today is married man, producer, co-founder, Brian Goins.
I brought my Heat shirt back, guys. Reverse jinx is in.
Brian's back. Brian's married. He is to my left.
I don't have to get divorced.
Brian does not have to get divorced. His marriage was saved by Tyler Hero today. Ooh. On the
I
bottom
married
left,
Tyler Hero tonight.
On the bottom left, we have our photoshopper and statistician, Christian Hernandez.
Let's fucking go, baby.
Stream
guaranteed
debut
victory.
For Christian. On the bottom, right below me, we have our 2K coach, Frankie.
Dave Dufour can eat it.
Dave Dufour can eat it. We are at the doorstep of the NBA Finals a year after having to watch Deion Waiter and James Johnson play a ton of minutes for this team. We are locked and loaded, one game away. We are one Jimmy Butler go off fuck you game away. We are one Duncan Robinson 8-3-point game away. We are another Tyler Hero game away. We are one game away from getting to the NBA Finals after having, think about the devastation this team has gone through. Think of the sports devastation this team has gone through. This team not only lost LeBron James, who is the best player of this generation, its next max player, Chris Bosh, almost died of pulmonary embolism. Then Dwayne Wade walks out the door, leaves a franchise in tatters. They have Deion Waiters and all these guys, and they're somehow recovering off the back of smart scouting, coaching, free agent acquisitions to the tune of one game away from the finals in a year that we all thought that this was a transition year. Christian, welcome to the stream, by the way. It's your debut here. We could start with Tyler. We could start with Jimmy kind of having that aggression early on. I think today the conversation is, fuck all these people who were wrong about this team.
The conversation has to be how Spoelstra made Gordon Hayward into Dante DiVincenzo.
Christian.
Did you say that right? Was that the right pronunciation?
DiVincenzo.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. They're here. Christian, how fucking hyped are you?
Oh, man, that was a nerve-wracking game, but it is something else. Just by like the end of the third quarter, they were already subconsciously just giving Tyler the ball. Like, the confidence in a 20-year-old to just take over a crucial – that was game five, right? No, game four. I mean, trying to avoid a much more stressful game five. Like, that is – and on a night where you really needed Jimmy to be huge, and he definitely had his moments, but he definitely disappeared at times, and Tyler and Goran both were there to just hit big shot after big shot when the Celtics, you know, would kind of get their footing and would start making runs. That's what the series has been, just a bunch of runs.
Mr. Duck 7 says he wore his hero jersey for 4 days straight, so you're welcome.
Let's go, Mr. Duck, about the culture. If you remember last stream, Mr. Duck apologized for not following his superstition, but Mr. Duck has come through. Guys, I really want to take a moment to let's think about the leverage and the situation that Tyler Hero was in. 20 years old, not going to be 21 till I think December or something, or January. And the kid is in a leverage. If the Heat lose today, let's think about how the team feels, how the coverage is going to be, how everything is going to feel for this team, kind of blowing a 2-0 lead, having it tied up against a team that everyone had favored. This was such a leverage game for them, because if they win, now they are in 100% control of the series with the better coach. They are going to have the coach to they're going to have three times to adjust to whatever Stevens and the Celtics do. That's huge for them. They also have a guy in Jimmy Butler, who's a star. They have Bam Adebayo, who's been the best player, two-way player in the series, just been the best player in this damn series. That dude's awesome. And for them to come out and their youngest guy in their biggest game since the 2014 finals show up in this way, 37 points. They were running. You know, one of my favorite adjustments in this game was Bam Adebayo screening like 2 feet behind the three-point line. It was able to give Hero a lot of space to operate. Once he comes off that pick, he can step into a three. He's not super crowded. What the Celtics were doing, every time Duncan specifically was coming off a dribble handoff, they were sending two plus a drop man, which was Tice. He was basically being triple teamed off that action. So by kind of moving the pick far out, they had a lot more room to operate. You'd love that out of Eric Spoelstra. Frankie, was there anything else that you like what the Heat did adjustment-wise?
The biggest adjustment was giving Hero the ball in space on the run against a bend defense. He was taking those DHOs that Duncan wasn't shooting, and he was using them to at will. He was getting the threes when he wanted to. He was taking the drive when it was there. And he was – the first half of the game, It looked like everybody was afraid to shoot the shot, except for Hero. He was keeping us alive in the game. Second half, he went off because he was the only one that was ready to play and ready to be aggressive. And it made all the difference. I asked for a 30 piece. I didn't expect 37. I'm very happy for him.
I know that you kind of – Frankie, I don't know if you want to do this early because we're talking about Tyler Hero and kind of his great start. Do you want to get into highlights early? We have it all set up. Are you ready?
We can do it. Let's do it.
You want to do it? I may be premature. Brian, can you stall while I figure this out?
All right, there's a couple of good messages on here. I think the one that might be funny – well, not maybe not funny, but at least one that's like another superstition is this guy apparently has gone out to dinner every game except for two games. And the two games that he hasn't gone out to dinner, so he stayed at home to watch the games. The Heat are undefeated.
There we go. All right.
We're doing what you're doing. We're all doing.
So he needs to keep trying to risk his life getting COVID by going out and watching Heat games.
We salute you.
We all
sir.
Have to do what we got to do. You know, like this is all part of the collective cause. You know, if you believe in, you know, energies and spirits, like I cannot believe in this.
Undefeated.
Solomon Hill to go, according to Heat fan Ralph.
Solomon Hill. Okay, so we're getting into highlights, Frankie. We're ready. We're transitioning. Here we have a nice play with Tyler Hero, kind of. So we're going to play this, run this back. Frankie, run us through this.
All right, this is a simple side out of bounds. It's nothing fancy. I just want to show the decisiveness of Tyler compared to Duncan in the first half. You see this play. Iggy passes it out to Bam. Bam goes quick DHO. Kemba goes over. Hero's already thinking of shooting. He has all the space in the world. Rewind back to where Bam hands it off.
We got this. So we're coming
look
in.
Look at how much space. They're running a 2-3 zone. Look how much time on the shot clock. Foot out of the paint makes Kemba go over. And even if Tyler doesn't take this shot, Bam rolls. You got a 2-on-1 Hero and Bam against Tice. But this is the kind of decisive shot that Duncan all game was passing off. That those shots were there, but Duncan is pump faking it, giving it back. Hero's decisiveness is the difference here. Because even if you make or miss that shot, that's a great shot. That's a great look for him. Rhythm shot, confident, that's what you need all day. And he took plenty of those, and that made the difference tonight. Duncan needs to get that going next game and the finals too.
I mean, the thing with Duncan, I see a lot of people kind of shitting on Duncan today. And I don't think he had a single three. I think this is his first game without a three this whole season. If I'm correct, I don't think he made a three all game. And, you know, for him, they're sending three of the ball every time. And what that's doing is that's opening up for other people. And I don't know what the numbers were this game. But Duncan Robinson for the series and through the entire playoffs, he'd have like almost a 120 offensive rating when he's on the court, and it drops to like 105 when he's off. You know, that's not funky numbers. That's 100% his impact and what he does for this offense. And like, they can't afford for him to not play. And I know that there's a lot of conversations of, oh, you know, like he's not Steve Novak. He's not Kyle Korver. I also think he competes on defense more than people give him credit for. It's not been the best series for him, but half the games he has scored in double figures. One game he had 6 threes, the other he had 4 threes. I just think people are way too hard on him.
I think the difference was, though, that they were hunting that DHO with Duncan too often, and by the time they gave up on it, there's 8 seconds left on the shot clock. You try to get the ball to Jimmy or Goran, and you're not getting a good look there. You're getting a tough shot there. They couldn't get it going often enough because Duncan wasn't taking the shots. But give credit to Boston, though. They did a hell of a job defensively, blitzing handoff, making him uncomfortable, forcing him to hesitate. And he's not himself, you know. The playoffs, they say that the closeouts are a little faster. Your reaction time has to grow there too. He needs to adapt his game a little bit and understand. There was a couple plays. There was a play in the first half where Bam had caught the ball on the right wing, and Duncan is coming off the DHO. Tatum plays it well, and the Duncan goes to the corner instead of curling to the basket. Bam threw it to him, and Duncan was surprised. Luckily, saved it. But that's the kind of play where in the regular season, Duncan's curling to the basket, looking to get a layup, and not forcing the issue there.
And this is partly like the Celtics are just completely getting him out of his space. Like they're standing three at the ball. They're doing all this stuff to him. They're making it really tough for him. Christian, I do want to get into not just the guys who played today, but the guys who didn't play today. Noticeably, Derek, Kendrick, and KO. I thought the KO thing
surprised
me.
Have we made a shout out to Solomon Hill yet? Who got
no? We haven't. The crossover master,
big fan of the show,
friend of the show, Solomon Hill.
One win away from coming back, by the way.
One win away. Solomon Hill said, "When they make the finals, Solomon Hill's coming back on this show." And I am so excited for that because he's obviously has to keep his promise. I mean, this is clearly what's kept him going. So, but Christian, like, Kendrick Nunn getting benched. I think we've been calling for this for a while. It finally actually happened.
I mean, yeah, like I understand, obviously, like, especially with the kind of season that Kendrick had, you know, I'm sure he built up a lot of, you know, he built up a lot of good grace with with how well he played during stretches of the season. But, and I understand Spo wanting a player to kind of work their way out of a funk, but after a while, you kind of just have to look at it at face value. And we've been watching Kendrick hit the front rim on his jump shots for 4 to 6 weeks now, and it just hasn't gotten any better. And that's such a key part of his game. If he can't come off a pick and hit that 16 footer or really make a defense worry about that jump shot, you know, it's hard for him to then make plays from that. So, you know, and he's not going to bring you the same, you know, energy, especially on the defensive end, in my opinion, that a lot of the other guys that they have playing right now, like Iguodala and Jay Crowder, can bring.
Our boy didn't play, though. We love KO. You and I are big KO guy.
Well, there were a few times in this game where Spo went very small when guys like Tice were still out there. And I thought that could have been an opportunity to get KO some minutes. But I see that they really were just putting an emphasis on really just being able to switch and be disruptive on the defensive side of the ball. And it paid off because, like, it was an ugly game. And I think that might have been the goal with some of the decisions that Spo made tonight.
How the Miami Heat are undefeated in postseason when our friend of the show, Solomon Hill, plays.
Is that also true? I'm telling you, like, it's just a bunch of these little weird facts that come together and make something bigger happen.
Chat saying that Tyler was a -4. Phil_7. That is why plus minus is kind of a garbage stat.
Oof,
Tyler also made half the threes losing on his
player.
Team.
I mean, they have not shot the ball well for two straight games. Jay Crowder, Christian, I think it's finally happened.
I was a little late. I mean, he had already taken, like, I think 5 or 6 threes by the time that I fired it off. But, you know, again, I did forget. Maybe that's all it is. I'm going to be sure to be on top of that on Friday. But, yeah, I mean, this is the reality, though, is that in the long term, people tend to be who they are. So is this him starting to show he's kind of always tended to be, or is this just a little hiccup? I'm hoping it's the latter because they've really – grown dependent on Jay hitting those open shots, and he's going to keep having them because teams don't really respect it.
So I actually do want to talk a little bit about that, Frankie, because the Celtics were hiding Kemba Walker on Jay Crowder a lot of the game. And what the Heat have been doing is just having Jay Crowder screen in almost every action, right? So if you're going to put Kemba on Jay Crowder, Jay Crowder is not going to beat you one-on-one, right? So his advantage is he's going to be able to shoot over Kemba. So you put Kemba in the screen and roll with Goran or with Tyler or with Jimmy or whatever, and you kind of, or Duncan, and you force Kemba Walker to defend you. But if Jay Crowder is not hitting his shots and teams are just leaving him, makes it really tough. And that's, I feel like that's kind of why Andre got the closing nod, even though I was tweeting from the Heat beat account that he gives up nothing on offense. Andre was big time, though. A lot of defensive plays, a lot of deflections.
He had 3 steals. The difference was Jimmy came out aggressive. First couple minutes, he was hunting that mismatch, has hunting the switch. They were giving it, Boston wasn't really fighting through the switch. If you're Stevens, you probably want them to fight through that switch, avoid it, and not let them get into their offense so easy. Try to, you know, if you make Miami start their offense with 12 seconds on the clock, that's a lot better than 16 on and with a mismatch. But that was the difference. Jimmy's being aggressive there, hunting that mismatch when it's there, and getting to the line, getting to the rim. You saw when they went away from that, when him and Bam stopped being aggressive in the second quarter, it looked like a college basketball game.
It looked so bad. Dude, can we talk about how fucking bad that game was for like a quarter?
Oh God, it was disgusting.
Like that shit was so Kristen. I couldn't fucking deal with it. It was bad. It was like front rim after front rim. It was Jimmy just decided that he didn't want to shoot for 5 minutes. It was Goran. I feel poor Goran.
No, it was really sloppy basketball. I mean, it was a combination of the Heat not being able to score and the Celtics turning the ball over a bunch. I think the Heat ended up a plus 11 in turnovers tonight. Like that is what killed the Celtics.
They had one turnover the entire second half.
And mind you, this I think might be I cannot remember the last time that the Heat shot under 30% from three and won a basketball game.
That's so fucking crazy.
So it definitely a bit of an upset tonight in terms of, you know, how they've been winning games this season.
Does that make you feel better? Like the fact that they won a game so ugly?
But that's what happens with this team, man. Every time they like, they feel like they're not in it because of the way they're shooting. They always find a way to win towards the end of the game. They close out the games, even if the referees are fucking calling bullshit fouls.
You know what the difference is, though? That they got 24 of 27 from the line this game. Aggressive getting to the line. I'm looking up their points in the paint now.
Jimmy got to the line 9 times. 4 of those were late-game free throws, but I think that in the beginning and the end, he had a certain level of aggression getting to the basket.
Yeah. They had 38 points in the paint, both teams. That was a difference. Boston killed them last game, points in the paint.
It was like 64 or something, and Miami had been the best team in the league at keeping people out of the paint.
Boston had like 42 in the first half last game.
So ridiculous. Like I don't want to look too ahead to the finals because like, you know, we opened the show. They're at the doorstep of this. By the way, Chad W09 says that Ira reported that Bam says his wrist is good. So he just twisted it. It's good news to hear because I was kind of worried about that.
Spo said he's icing it.
Okay, well,
you
know.
That's all he had.
Warrior culture.
Icing stem.
Udonis is the mentor.
Daniel, it's a Tice. Daniel, it's a wash Tice.
No
minus
way.
14.
Ah, that's right. Dave Dufour. Listen, when we said that we were going live on the postgame show, Dave Dufour is just tweeting at us, uh-oh. We might have to ask Dave to come back on to answer for his war crimes.
Is this a real quote?
I mean, there's just been so much nonsense that's been out there. I mean, like, I think the craziest one was whoever said that Tice and Bam was going to be a wash.
Dave Dufour.
Because
no, that wasn't Dave Dufour.
No, that wasn't Dave Dufour. That was somebody else. But I mean, tonight Bam played 41 minutes. He drew 10 fouls on the Celtics tonight.
Oh, man,
he is the biggest guy out there most of the time, and he's playing like it. On top of the fact that he's, you know, coordinating a lot of the Heat's offense and is essentially their defensive anchor. Like, I cannot talk enough about how great he's been in this conference finals.
He's been the best player this series. I don't even think that's – I think maybe Tatum could be that other guy, but I for me, I think it's clearing away Bam Adebayo.
Man, how about that fucking propaganda for Jason Tatum in the first half? I like Tatum. I've liked him since his under-18 team at USA. But man, that fucking propaganda! Oh, he's got to be hurt. What's going on with him? They could not criticize him. They couldn't say no. Miami's doing a great job. He's having a bad game. He doesn't look. They're like, oh, he doesn't look like himself. I wonder what's going on.
Haven't you seen the coverage around? Like the halftime shows are all Boston, and whatever.
Pregame.
Let's just say that's a Paul Pierce and Jay Williams thing. Let's just say that. Have you seen those commercials for the series? They're like Boston centric, and I'm watching this, and I was like, "Wait a second, is this the Boston local TV channel? What the fuck is going on?" I'm watching Lakers Nuggets, and all these like Nuggets, this Boston propaganda stuff going on.
Okay, hold on, I have to interrupt real quick because Alex Toledo at Five Reasons Sports is getting some incredible.
Alex
quotes.
Toledo at what? You mean Alex Toledo? MIA Heat Beat.
He's a tropical blanket in our hearts, though. Tyler Hero. I think someone said my wingspan was too short.
That actually brings me to something I want to share with you guys. So on episode 234 of this podcast, we apologized to Tyler Hero with the montage. Now, for chat, so those of you know, Brian, Christian, and Frankie won't be able to hear this live. Only you guys will. But I am going to play it for you guys so you can hear. This is kind of our raw draft reactions compared to what is actually reality.
If you take Tyler Hero, what team do we start covering instead? Oh, I'm starting Hawks beat.
I like don't understand why people like him. He's not a great shooter. He's like Luke Kennard if Luke Kennard was bad.
Out to Hero for three. Yes! With 7 seconds left.
Finishing numbers were not good. So you're not going to be expecting him to like beat somebody off the dribble and take it in, you know, to the basket too often.
Nice move. And finish. Tyler Hero.
Like, how is he going to stay on the floor in a Heat rotation?
I'm a keeper. You got to love that rookie.
I would feel so much better about the Hero pick if, like, his arms weren't shorter than, like, his, not, like, he has alligator arms.
Austin Rivers loses the ball to Hero. Hero has help. A 3-on-1 break.
Leif is so sad in their chat. He's like, that pick was such a bummer.
Out to Hero for the three. Yes!
We got Tyler Hero.
I don't even know if he realizes he's just twisting the knife.
That was our draft night reactions. I think Christian said it best at the end. It's just turning the knife. We were wrong. I said, I don't know how Tyler could survive in a Heat rotation. Nikias said alligator arms. Leif said, like, Leif was sad in our group chat. Like, I can't believe what a boring pick. Leif, by the way, is in our group chat right now saying Steph Leap. So let's talk about the fucking variants on that one. We are sorry, Tyler Hero. We did that like fucking 50 episodes ago, but we got to do it again. I mean, we were wrong. I don't even know what I mean. We were also wrong about Bam. I don't know where that montage is. That one's somewhere. We're not the best draft coverage, but that's why you want to watch us on draft night, because we're just going to get shit flagrantly wrong.
We give them the reverse jinx.
We got to keep it going, because if I mean, so far we're 2 for 2.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't Nikias have the best Bam one, though? Didn't he call him Ekpe Udo?
No, that was Bam. Nikias said, why would you draft Bam when Ekpe Udo's right there?
That was incredible.
For the minimum, yeah.
Yeah, so Ekpe Udo and Alligator Arms are leading the Heat to the NBA Finals. What a fucking sentence. They're a game away from the Finals. And by the way, they've earned it. You know what I mean? Like, they thoroughly kicked Milwaukee's ass. They led almost wire to wire this game. The Celtics led for like 5 minutes, or like probably less than that. I mean, it was like something ridiculous that they barely led. They have been outstanding this postseason. And even though a guy like Jay Crowder, who had been a real important part to their production, their rotation and everything, without him producing, they were like, you know what? Next man up. Andre, come in. KO, you're not going to play. K-Nun, you're not going to play. Derek Jones Jr., you're not going to play. We're going to have enough. We're going to get 4 minutes from Solomon Hill. And by the way, he was pretty damn good. And look where we are.
Solomon Hill, team low. Hold on, shit. I went looking for something else. Team low, 88.9 defensive rating he'd had while he was out on the court in those 4 minutes. Huge 4 minutes. Big fan of the show.
The crossover master, I will say.
Didn't get to see one tonight, though. I was a little disappointed.
I think, Brian, you gave him the name of the crossover master.
Yeah, that was me.
I want that to stick. When he comes on the show, and by the way, guys, Chad, if you got suggestions to ask Solomon Hill, you got to let us know, because, I mean, this is happening, right? So when he comes back, we got to ask him if he likes the crossover master as a name.
Gee, how fast could you get the band? Because I'm going to upload it to our little folder on Google Drive. If you want to open up the Bam Adebayo instant draft reaction, it's actually there right now if you want to download
Okay, let's do that. We're going to laugh at us some more today at a day of celebration. We are going to laugh at our Bam Adebayo draft reaction. So let's do that. All right, then. Let's load this up. I mean, we have been so wrong about so many things. It is hysterical.
Woj is reporting the Heat selecting OG Anunoby. No, Bam Adebayo. I lied.
Oh, my. They took Bam?
Yo.
What are we doing?
Come on, twice?
Who is this?
Twice in one show?
Are you kidding?
What are the Heat doing? Who is that?
He just said that they're going to draft OG. Oh, no. No, we won't. Oh, no, we don't. They're drafting Bam Adebayo?
What is...
What? What
happened? I read it.
You got to be freaking kidding me.
That's so good because, like... Nikias is acting like the world is falling down. He's like, Bam, Bam, we got Bam. Alex, oh no, because I guess we all wanted OG at the time. OG, I don't know, be a good pick, but it wasn't.
Oh,
you know.
No, oh no, we won't. Oh no,
oh
we
no, oh no. It's funny. Alex is like apocalyptic, and then, you know, there we go. We get Ekpe Udoh, you know, leading us one game of baby Jokic, if you will. And by the way, like, looking ahead to the finals, if they match with either team, like, if they get Anthony Davis and the Lakers, I think that the Heat are going to be able to survive playing them big or small. And I think that that's not many teams can say that against the Lakers. I think that I know that Kelly didn't get any run today, but I do think that Kelly will be very, very useful in that series. And if they go small, I think we're all okay with Bam Adebayo one-on-one against Anthony Davis. And then on the other side of the matchup with Jokic, Bam, you know, Zach Lowe said it best. There's only two human beings on earth that could make Jokic's life hard. One is Anthony Davis and the other is Bam Adebayo. And if you're Miami, obviously, like, you know, either one of those teams coming out of the West is earned and everything. I think the Clippers would have been the worst matchup for them. They have all the right pieces to shut them down. The Lakers have to depend on Rajon Rondo threes and Alex Caruso threes, and both of them are not good shooters. Their half-court offense looks to not still not be very good, especially in the playoffs. I think Miami has a – I mean, we're looking at a realistic and legitimate finals champion here.
And like, your boy Kyle Kuzma.
That guy's not good. And I think I've been vindicated on this. That guy's good.
That's Tyler Hero's Eskimo brother, okay?
with his current girlfriend?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Gordon Hayward.
How much sex is he getting tonight?
Is she in the bubble?
Yeah.
Good for him. Rocket. Kristen's like smiling like Woody Harrelson in Wimbledon.
Well, like, no, I mean, like, shout out to her because she is, whatever she's doing, she's just got to keep doing it.
It's working. It's absolutely working for all of us.
Whatever her reverse jinx is, she's got to keep doing it.
Kristen, I know
that's
you're
very true. She's probably got her own. Yeah.
Kristen, I know you're looking at numbers. I don't want to put you on the spot. Is there anything that you're looking at that you're thinking, like, oh, this is pretty interesting?
Yeah, no, I was taking a look at to see how well the Lakers defense has done, because I don't know, part of me feels like the Celtics are a harder problem to solve defensively than the Lakers, but then again, I haven't watched the Lakers as much as I should, so don't want to speak too soon.
Lakers defense is going to give Miami more problems than Boston will.
I disagree with that.
Than Boston?
Yeah, I disagree with that. I think that the Lakers also have huntable matchups. I think that I know that AD provides a very unique issue for them, but I do think Miami has a kind – I mean, they're going to be able to spread that out, especially if they're going to play Olynyk. You know, they're going to probably get to play two bigs. I do think that the Lakers' perimeter defenders aren't as scary as Boston's. Their switching is not going to be as good. Miami's going to have a lot more, like, space when they do those handoff plays. I mean, you saw Tyler tonight. I mean, Tyler's coming off that handoff. And the Celtics were not, by the way – when Duncan comes off those handoffs, they were sending two. With Tyler, they weren't, partly because they're afraid of Tyler's passing, which he's been very, very good. And the other is just like they just were not prepared for that. And if you're going to play the Lakers, you know, they're not going to have the guys on the hand. I mean, are you scared of KCP, like, going over screens? Are you scared of
I'm definitely not scared of Danny Green anymore.
Danny Green's going to shoot 50% from my against
that's
Miami.
That's the scary part. Danny Green's the scary part. Danny
Green's
going
to find a shot.
Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, and you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire, with 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month. Indeed is going to get you the most important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere right now at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Only valid through September 30th.
Did someone say playoffs? NBA and NHL are playing for gold, and our partners Bet Online have you covered. Get in on all the action, including a new NBA bracket contest with plenty of chances to win. MLB season is pushing into fall, and there's no shortage of ways to bet with hundreds of odds, futures, and props. So take advantage of the return of sports. And remember, the casino never closes. Check it out all day, all night. Go to betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your welcome bonus. That's betonline.ag, promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online sportbook experts. Danny Green's what worries me. But other than that, I mean, then again, this series is not over. We've seen the Denver Nuggets twice overcome a 3-1 lead. So I don't, you know, let's not count our eggs before they hatch. Yeah. But Miami's in the driver's seat. Like we said earlier, you know, you have the better coach going at Brad Stevens. You're going to have three times to adjust. They've lost one time this series. They lost twice this entire playoff run. It's just, I mean, they have the fewest losses in the playoffs. I mean, the Lakers have like, it's just like what's happening right now is insane.
I think if the Heat win their next game, this would be the best record they've ever had entering an NBA Finals of any of their championship teams.
What are we laughing at, Chris? Teams.
Oh, sorry. Apparently some people have decided to start tuning into New England sports radio right now.
I love it.
Mike love Ryan it. Says that apparently the hits so far are the host is rooting for the Heat to win so that it doesn't ruin everyone's Sunday. Multiple segments crushing Ainge for not trading up for Tyler Hero, and Gordon Hayward is a jag.
I fucking love it, dude. Oh my god. I'm doing this thing recently that after Celtic losses, I'm listening to like Boston podcasts, like Bill Simmons and like other Celtic podcasts. I'm into these Celtic tears. I'm into them. Well, you know, the Heat are just better than we are. You know, Marcus Smart's a bad decision maker. And I was like, fucking feed it to me. Feed
you know
it
how
to me.
Painful it is for the national media to say nice things about Miami. It hurts them. They are spitting blood as they speak. It fills me with joy.
And Jimmy
Ask
Butler.
Four.
Oh, like, I hate that we're doing this today, man.
Dave Dufour is in our mentions fucking scared as shit right
Dave
now.
Dave Dufour, we're coming for your ass, dude. If the Heat win this series, you bet your ass you're gonna get DM to come back on the show.
He said they were what was the quote? I'm gonna look it up because I know I tweeted it.
He had Celtics in 4 or 5 and that they were gonna run us over.
He on Basketball Buzz said Celtics at 6, but that's completely out of play.
He had Daniel Tice
because I don't have an athletic membership.
He had Daniel Tice being a 3-point shooter that Miami needs to respect. He's taken one shot 3-point shot this whole series, 0-for-1.
He's like the Joel Embiid of big man shooters. Like just let him shoot. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I was surprised that Grant Williams only played 1 minute. He played really well last game on their small ball lineups. They went back to Robert Williams. And Semi Ojeleye played 4 minutes. That was shocking for me.
I love me some Celtics Semi Ojeleye, but it's the crevice to open the series.
Yes,
something I really like today is Miami did not over adjust, and I think that a lot of times in basketball Twitter universe we get very very obsessed with over adjusting stuff. Miami stuck with their zone. They like their zone. It's been very successful. They did not. I mean, I think the biggest adjustments were just not playing Kelly and Nunn and Derek. And at the end of the day, it's just what we asked Coach Bud to do. Shorten your rotation. Just play your best guy. How many minutes did Bam play today? He was in the 40s. It was like 41 minutes today.
Yeah, 41 minutes.
Played 41 minutes today. It was Jimmy in 38 or something. Jimmy played a lot too, you know, so
39.
Yeah. So you have, you're shortening your rotation. You're just playing your best guys all the minutes. I mean, they
practically played 7 guys because Hill only played 4 minutes, and then it was Iguodala and Hero off the bench. All their scoring came from Bam, Jimmy, Goran, and Tyler. The other guys each scored 3 points.
And Goran didn't have like a particularly Goran-y game, but
nah.
The contributions that that little layup he had under the basket late game was
big shot.
Was really really good. Yeah, Mr. Duck gives an interesting point. You know, can't wait to hear Paul Pierce struggle on TV next game if the Celtics are down at half. I can't wait for that.
I can't wait to hear Kendrick Perkins on TV right now.
Oh, Kendrick Perkins is our guy. Christian doesn't like me claiming Kendrick Perkins.
I just feel like this is I don't trust it in any way, shape, or form. Okay.
He's the only one that's like about us right now.
The Heat had a 140 offensive rating in the fourth quarter.
That's insane. Really? That shocks me because that felt bad.
No, and it was about it was because Tyler Hero scored 17 in the fourth quarter on 6 of 9 from the field.
Nice!
With an 86 true shooting percentage. I mean, he literally was just unconscious.
What was his usage?
His usage was 33%. He had the highest usage in the fourth quarter, just leading the way 100%.
Did he play all the minutes again in the fourth? Because that's been a thing that he's been doing this entire postseason.
Him, Goran, Bam, and oddly enough, Andre Iguodala played almost every single second of the fourth quarter. He was only out for 5 seconds.
Wow.
How about Tyler? 37 points, most impressive stat, one turnover. Turnover for the Wiggins. That's great.
That's wild.
And he's zipping the ball around, you know, when the help comes too. I don't know how many assists he had today, but I know he was passing out of drives and he wasn't like doing too much with the ball.
He was literally doing it all. He led the team in usage percentage. He led them in assist percentage. He led them in assist to turnover ratio. Like he was it. It just incredible game.
Somebody said the stat that Bam is leading the Heat this series in points, rebounds, steals, blocks, and he's second in assists.
Yep, that's what they said in the broadcast.
That's insane.
Another crazy stat is most points in the playoff game from a player aged 20 or younger. Number one is Magic Johnson back in 1980 with 42 points. Number two on the list is now Tyler Hero, 2020 with 37.
I mean, there's just no words. I mean, the guy has been – he's taken a leap that – I mean, this is – I never – did you guys ever – I didn't think he'd be this. I never even
especially
thought –
especially not year
game.
One.
I mean, I was saying Lou Williams. Like, yeah. Lou Williams got his ass beat in the playoffs.
I think Lave's right. I think he's going to – he's got the stuff lead.
The dude has a tight fucking handle. He can shoot off the bounce. He can shoot off the catch. He's a good finisher. The finishing. Remember this year, the finishing wasn't there. The dude is high off glass today in leverage situations. Calm, collected, and with a plan. When Tyler Hero starts dribbling off the pick, he has a plan. And more importantly, he has a plan B.
More importantly, according to Dwayne Wade, he definitely has a black best friend.
We can't comment on that. Where's Alfred DeKaius? That's what...
Cancel Brian.
Cash that cancel Brian.
I'm just quoting a tweet. That's what
we can't cancel Brian. He literally just got married. That can't be.
Oh, shout out to Brian getting married and not having to get divorced now.
Yeah, shout out to Brian. Brian, how was the wedding, by the way? Can you give us a couple quick wedding stories?
At one point, someone slid under someone's legs and then afterwards got twerked on.
Is that someone you? Brian.
This doesn't sound like a COVID-safe wedding.
We're all good
for now.
How about Brian drunk?
Hit me up in 2 weeks.
How about Brian drunk texting us during his wedding
on stream? I was reading Brian's text. It was very white tweets. It was like, I'm so turnt right now, misspelling everything.
That's crazy
because I still remember everything that happened, but obviously, like,
you aren't turnt enough.
I felt it. No, I felt it.
Yeah, if you remember, you're not drunk enough. I'm sorry.
No, I probably could have one more.
Do you know how fucking drunk I'm going to get if the Heat win the championship? I'm not going to remember anything because I'm just going to get fucking wasted.
Do you know what I can't help think about right now? 30-11. 30-11, I feel like, was the start of just like a huge shift for everything because it ultimately culminated in them drafting Bam instead of maybe taking somebody else that they might have taken. Mm-hmm. And then they hit another home run in Tyler Hero. Like, obviously, finding guys like, you know, Kendrick Nunn, Duncan Robinson have definitely, you know, helped fill in. But it's that and using, like, an asset like Josh Richardson to get a guy like Jimmy Butler. I mean, it's just honestly been incredible to reflect on it where we are right now.
You know what's better than 30-11?
A fucking title.
16-2.
Heading that way. I mean, if they get LeBron James in the finals, I mean, I can't think of. I mean, I think the league has to be pretty happy. It's not Lakers Celtics, but
no. But the narrative for the Heat is amazing because you think about it. Like, you beat what was supposed to be the best team in the league in the second round, then you go on and beat fucking Pat Riley's like arch nemesis, And then you go on to beat the guy who fucking left you because he thought he had it better somewhere else.
It's the perfect scenario. You dunk on TJ Warren's stupid head. You beat the Celtics. You beat... Wait, did I skip somebody? Oh, you beat the MVP.
And we the number one, MVP.
I completely forgot about the MVP. Beat them and the number one team in the league. You beat the Celtics because fuck the Celtics, although I think Leslie might be sleeping already. And and then you get to go up against LeBron. And like that would just be so much fun. But also, maybe the Nuggets?
Maybe Denver. I don't want to play the Nuggets.
That's how about Heat Lakers? This would be, without a doubt, LeBron's most embarrassing finals loss.
It would be his hardest opponent yet.
Absolutely.
Look, this Miami team is a great story as an underdog, but this is not a regular, like, championship contender.
These are not the 2018 Warriors.
This is a Cinderella run, like in a March Madness tournament. This is George Mason right now.
Do you think he'd be scared of him? Like, let's be honest. Like, let's put ourselves through with LeBron. Do you think he's absolutely watching today? Not. Like, no, you think no? You absolutely don't think he not. Looks at Alex Caruso? I think he looks at Alex Caruso like, my man's going to get cooked out here by Tyler Hero.
He looks at the fucking sidelines and sees that Eric Spoelstra is such a better coach.
He doesn't
and think he wishes he had him.
Spo is going to lose to Frank Vogel? Get the again? Fuck out of here.
No. But we're talking about if LeBron's going to be afraid. LeBron doesn't think
LeBron
highly
knows. LeBron knew what Eric did to Frank Vogel. He was there. On the front lines. Eric Spoelstra is not losing to Frank Vogel. I fucking guarantee it. I would bet anything. He's not losing to Frank Vogel or Brad Stevens at this point. Come on.
Yanni, you need to keep picking against the Heat too. Don't start this because you picked against the Heat.
I picked the Heat at six. I picked the Heat at six both times against the Bucks and against the Celtics.
You freaking liar.
I think I picked him against Indiana, but I think I picked like a longer series. I picked like six.
That's it. But you definitely picked the Bucks in six and the Celtics in six.
I picked Bucks in six kind of as a meme, but also like, I mean, Bucks in six, you know, shout out to Brandon Jennings.
And how about all those cowards on Twitter who are talking about reverse jinxing?
No,
where's the cocky Heat fan? Where's the cocky Heat fan, man?
Cocky Heat fan's gone.
Goddamn
that's
chest.
That's Brass's stick.
With your chest.
We gotta get back to cocky Heat fan, bro.
I don't know, Chad.
This is another level.
Chad.
That's not happening.
I'm like,
telling you, it's not happening.
It's not. Cowards.
I don't – like, LeBron's not here anymore. Dwayne's not here anymore. Cocky.
And that's fan. Why we can be cocky. Nobody no. to choke the J.J. fucking no. Barea.
It's different. It's
– Or Boris Diaw.
That – with that team – like, let's come back to it, right? So when they had that team, it was something that we legitimately believed. They would not lose a game. You know what I mean? Like, when they went into the playoffs, after that – you know, after that game in Cleveland and something clicked, right, and they go into that postseason, once they beat the Celtics, it just felt like they would never lose, right? And then after the Bulls, they go down 1-0, whatever, and then Udonis comes back game two, dunks on Derrick Rose, we all know the story. And just the way that they were embarrassing Chicago and Boston, even though it looked bad against Dallas, we all felt that they would never lose. Because they were just so much more talented than everybody. And every year it was like that. This is different. This is not, you know, we don't look behind the bench and see LeBron, Wade, and Bosch, right? We see, you know, Jay Crowder and Derrick Jones Jr. and, you know, Kelly Olynyk. It's a little different. Cocky Heath, nothing will ever be those 4 years. This is just different. This is different. This is a different kind of love to see what Jimmy's doing, to see what all these guys are doing. Guys, we're talking about the finals.
But I feel like this is what makes it so much more fun. This is way more unexpected than anything we ever went through with the big three.
I'm shocked every game. Guys, Christian, I'm shocked every single game.
Like, it's incredible. Like, I'm trying to figure out the best way to express myself, but I'm having to really think about it.
I mean, it's almost like, you know, in our lifetime as Heat fans, I think we almost can kind of sense the titles, right? So in 2006, right, they go in 05. They make it to the Eastern Conference Finals to Game 7. Dwayne Wade breaks a rib. It's looking bad, right? So then they make that huge, giant trade. They get all these pieces in around Wade and Shaq, win the title in 06, right? That was not surprising, right? They were trying to win a title that year. And in 2005, because they traded for Shaq. Then every other year, they were really non-playoff factors. Fast forward to the big 3 years, And yeah, that team was competing for championships, right? So this is not a year that we thought they were going to come in and win a title, right? We all felt that this was a transitionary year. We all said on this podcast, all of us, yeah, probably a second round team. We take that. That's going to feel good. A game away from
Ryan Cortez.
Ryan Cortez has the guts. We're a game away from the finals.
So there's a lot of good comments. I don't know how you want to do this, Stu. You want me to just read them all?
Read chat. Engage. Brian's going to read from chat. Talk to us. What you got?
All right. So first, Foth, NorZZA says, don't forget Solomon Hill when you were listing all those players at the end of the Heat bench.
Yo, Solomon plays, yo.
He also Lifer. Says, Karmic Bead 7193 says he trusts Solomon Hill and Myers Leonard far more than he did Mike Bibby.
Shout out to the Deuces.
Listen, Christian was objectively right when he said that this was his favorite Heat team back in January, according to Pokey Sticks.
Christian, you said that?
Thank you, Dave. Yes, that was 100% Dave. I don't even have to know if that was Dave because he constantly reminds me of that because I think Sedano gave me shit for saying that. But it was honestly true. Like, you enjoy something a lot more when it's unexpected, and this team was way more unexpected than any of those, you know, big three teams. While those teams were incredibly fun, there's nothing more fun than being the overwhelming juggernaut. You know, this is different. And I think it makes it, you know, special in its own way.
Also from Dave at Pokey Sticks, he says that the day after LeBron left, or day during LeBron left, Leslie, Christian's girlfriend, consoled him by saying, well, you won before you had him, so he can win again.
Look at that.
Leslie has more guts than we do.
She does. She does.
How does she watch these games, Chris? Does she get mad? Is she yelling at Marcus Smart?
Well, no, she was so pissed tonight, though, because I was a virtual fan, so I was like a minute in front of the live feed, it felt like. Or at least the live feed that we were getting, because, you know.
Oh, you were just spoiled.
Because we stream it through Hulu, so I feel like we're actually behind, like, the live cable feed.
Yeah.
But regardless, the gap was large. So, like, I was, like, screaming. I'm like, yes, Jimmy. I'm, like, screaming about Tyler. And then she, at one point, just got fed up and went into the bedroom and closed the door. And I understood it.
It feels good, right?
No, it feels so good, though, because, man, it was going to be so hard to have to do this live stream after having Leslie rubbing it in my face and it's 2-2. Oh, God, that would have been brutal.
Hulu has live sports?
Well, just like the – it's like they have their own version of cable, essentially.
That was a joke. I'm stealing from Vane Hype.
Idiot. Oh, God.
Question for Christian. From KarmicBead7193. He asked, Christian, did you ask Amin any questions?
Oh, I wasn't even 100% sure that was him until they actually, like, called it out. Because the whole time I felt like every time I went to look at him, he was wearing this really loud gold jacket that was nice. And I want to steal it. I didn't get to ask him questions.
What are we talking about?
He was sitting in the same virtual section that I was.
So you could talk to people in your virtual section?
No, you can't. You can't. It's very limited. You're basically just there to, like, wave your hands and make a silly face.
Amin's about us. Amin's a lifer. Amin picks the Heat a lot. Amin made Heat Island. I'm
Christian did.
No, but Christian made Waiters Island. That was Waiters Island. Look how far we've come. Look how far we've come.
I'm so glad that we got to move past that. Oh, God. Those were dark times.
AC3R6 is asking, who's the best player we can get in the offseason to complete the Heat?
Oh, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, no, we're not
I don't want to do this.
We're
no,
not. Listen,
absolutely
they're a game
not.
Away from the finals. Who
Jesus
cares about
Christ.
The offseason?
Who gives a crap who they're going to get? Oh, my
listen,
God.
Listen, AC3R6, we love you.
Finish it, though. He's saying that they're going to repeat as NBA champion.
Also, first of all, have some vision. Like, obviously, 2021 is the plan. Like, this is just like a throwaway year.
Just
and hell, if they win a title this year, they're just going to win another win next year and then build a better team.
You just sign Anthony Davis and that's it.
I hope that we if they win the title or if they make the finals or if they I mean by the way the Heat have not played from behind all playoffs long. They've been up in every single series the entire time.
Easy to do when you don't lose.
It's just crazy. I mean this team, this Cinderella team that's just Jay Crowder needs to start shooting though. That's something.
Yo, him and Duncan combined for 1 for 9. 1 for 14.
And Jay had the one, and that was like in the first quarter.
Yeah. But that's where Tyler made up the difference with the 14 for 21 from the field. Jesus Christ. This like, fucking team.
So I something that we haven't really talked about and kind of running out of time to kind of close out the show. something that the Heat have done really well is I think that they've taken the Celtics' best adjustments, and I don't really know what else Boston can do. Right. So Miami didn't really move away from the zone. They kind of leaned into it. They forced a shit ton of turnovers. Boston has tried Marcus Smart on Goran. They're sending three off the handoffs. They're switching everything. They've tried going really small. They've tried playing bigger. They've tried both Williams. They've tried a lot of different things. Gordon Hayward's back. Miami was able to kind of adjust to that. Wasn't as effective in a passer in the zone as normal. I mean, it just kind of feels like we know, like, Spo has kind of solved this, and I don't know what other options Brad Stevens really has.
I think what the biggest thing is the little minutes that he with his bench, that he just loses those minutes in certain rotations, that they match up with Miami well, where Miami's not killing them. And that's how all these games end up close, because Miami can't pull away from any of these damn games. But, you know, something like, you know, playing Semi 4 minutes over Grant for 1 minute, it can be the difference. Grant was a really good player and really stifled a lot of the actions Miami was trying to get into last game. Was a big factor. And that's just like, that's just a little thing that you're not expecting. You're not going into the game thinking Grant Williams is going to make the difference. But that's a guy on the bench who's a lot better than Semi, who's better than Robert Williams, who jumps at everything that comes near him, and he plays better sound defense. He's 6'6", but who cares? He plays good defense, and he bothers the Heat. Blows up some of their actions. And the zone really neutralized them offensively, because it's not letting them get into the stuff they want to get into. It's not letting them attack with Kemba or with Tatum in certain spots. It's not letting them get their shots where they want them consistently. They're doing a good job getting good shots, but it's not shots that they want to get all consistently, not shots that they've gotten all year. It's made them uncomfortable. That's why they're turning the ball over so much, because they're overthinking it and they're uncomfortable. Miami's done a great job making them uncomfortable, but Miami's not playing great defense. A lot of these turnovers are Boston just tossing that shit around, making a bad pass, and Miami getting hands and deflections there. But most of that is Boston just not being comfortable, not being ready for this kind of a look offensively.
Gordon Hayward really missed the birth of his first son just so they can lose in five.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.